Amber, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, what appreciate do you think? Did you agree that Rick Hess is the Charlie Sheen of the education policy world?
Oh, man, no, absolutely 100% agree.
Yep.
Craziness. Mm. Boy, I feel sorry for him, though. But, you know, he's, I don't know if you guys know, but he's got the most tweet followers, like a million.
Huh?
And he got him in 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
He holds the Guinness book on the number of followers in the least amount of time. I saw this on my
That's great. I've been trying to think about how to get my tweet followers up.
Yeah.
And he really shows the way, huh?
Yeah. Just have some goddesses live with you. That's what it takes, apparently.
Nice. Well, who says I don't have goddesses?
Yeah, this is true. I've met Megan.
All right. So what do we have today?
All right. So we are well aware that students are required to be tested in science periodically, but that the results don't count in AYP calculations. So one wonders, how much science do kids know? So at the risk of you guys taking a snooze, we have science achievement results on the NAEP for 17 major urban school districts that volunteered to take the test. These are the TUDA results. So these are results. They aren't representative of all urban districts, but obviously of the ones that volunteer to participate. So questions measure students' knowledge in physical, life, earth, and space science, and achievement results are rendered on basic, proficient, and advanced. I see you snoozing already. Shockingly, most of the students in these districts at both grade 4 and 8 scored lower than the national average.
Oh, you don't say.
I'm shocked. Hey, you know, some weeks are better with others and studies around here. Anywho, Charlotte, Jefferson County, Kentucky, and Miami-Dade came closest to the national average. In Austin, eighth graders performed at or above proficient in advance. They were higher, basically, than large cities, and so Austin came out pretty good. Bad news, another shocker, Baltimore, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Fresno, LA, Milwaukee, and Philly had the worst overall results. And then we get the really bad news, which honestly, I look at the table and thought, is that a typo? Cleveland and Detroit had just 4% of their students reach proficiency in science. Baltimore had 5%, Philly had 8%. And then there was a bunch of data about achievement gaps, basically between black and white students. It ranges from 26 points in Philly to 56 in Atlanta. We know that these results can't be compared to previous frameworks because it's a new framework. Finally, though, I did take a look at some of the sample questions to see what these newest advancements in science were that were being captured. And it was a little jarring. So I'm wondering if you would permit me to read one sample question.
I will give you the floor.
I know that this is boring, but it gets a little more interesting look at a sample question. Yeah. Real quickly, Jamie and Manuel visit the zoo. They see two male tigers who are brothers. Jamie points out that the fur of one of the tigers has stripes that are darker brown than the other tiger's stripes. Manuel says those tigers can't be brothers. How can Jamie explain to Manuel that tigers with different colored stripes can be brothers? So you think maybe this is some cutting edge genetic science,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Asking the kids, how can these tigers of different stripes be brothers?
Yeah.
What cutting edge science, a right answer?
Let's see.
I have very light skin. My sister has darker skin, but we're brother and sister. There you go.
That was going to be my answer.
Winning answer. Boom. Right there. Full credit for that one.
I hope that was fourth grade.
That was fourth grade. But I mean, even at fourth grade. Fourth grade? Come on. Can we expect a little bit more?
That's science? How is that science?
That is a life science. That's the life science category. So cutting edge genetic science, people.
All right, now let me ask you a couple questions. Uh-huh. So we always see that Charlotte and Austin, for example, do well in these tests. And I've always assumed that that's partly because of demographics.
That's right.
You know, these are places where there are more, middle class, white students who generally perform better. But then Miami-Dade is interesting that they ended up on the list. I mean, I think of Miami as a very poor area. I guess it is a countywide system. Can we figure, is there any way that people can really figure out, you know, hold for the demographics, do some regressions and figure out, you know, are any of these cities doing better than you expect because of their demographics?
Yeah. I mean, the NAEP doesn't obviously do that. I mean, they have a little chart that says their white kids score higher than other white kids in the nation, of which that is the truth for some of these cities. But I think that's obviously possible to do. It's just not something that NAEP takes it upon itself to do.
Yeah. Well, I think we should do it. And that's our research director.
Another study, because we don't have enough around here.
I know. But it is, I mean, it does strike me, you wonder, Florida reforms have gotten a lot of attention. You look at the NAEP results statewide, and yeah, I mean, Florida's minority kids, especially Latino kids, are doing much better than other Latino kids in other parts of the country. Yeah. They're doing better than all kids in some states.
And that's actually been well researched and documented.
So you wonder about in Miami, and does, again, Jeb Bush get some credit for what happened statewide having an impact on the scores in a place like Miami-Dade? Seems like it's worth further study.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. And then, of course, there's Charlotte and Austin, which, again, it may just be demographics. These are also places, though, where the teacher unions do not bargain collectively.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
An interesting tidbit in light of everything that's happening. Okay, so Amber, what's the song that goes along with this study?
So, since we're talking big cities today, we're going to go old school with Stevie Wonder singing Living for the City.
Oh, yeah.
A boy's born in hot-dog, Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction. Living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just